Are you grateful to be alive this morning? Come on, are you grateful to be alive this morning? Can you give somebody a little push and say, are you grateful to be alive? Somebody went to bed last night and couldn't wake up. But you are alive, you ought to be grateful. Somebody don't have the capability of their limbs, but you can clap your hand and you can move your lip. You ought to be grateful. Come on. I'm grateful for all that the Lord has done. For all that the Lord has done. Somebody said, when I look back over my life and I think things over and I look at where I came from and where I've been, I can truly say that I've been blessed. And since you're blessed, you have a testimony. And since you're blessed, you have a testimony and you can sing, I'm grateful. I'm grateful. It could have been me, but I'm grateful. It could have been me, but I'm grateful. You know what I'm talking about. I'm grateful for all that the Lord has done. I'm grateful. Let's bow our hearts to the Lord in prayer. God, we declare this morning as a church that we are grateful to you. For we know where we came from and how you have brought us through. This morning we come to you to show you honor, to worship and adore your name, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that we have the capabilities of our limbs. We thank you, God, our breath is still in us. And your word declares to us, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. And we are so grateful this morning that we have breath in us, that we can move our hands and move our feet to tell you how good and how awesome you are. And God, as we continue in the atmosphere of worship, we pray now that you will come and speak through us, Lord God, and speak to us. Open our hearts to receive your word. God, I pray that you will hide me behind the cross, that Jesus Christ, his words would be heard and not mine. We are so, so excited for all that you have in store for us. We thank you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap as you take your seats. Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. I want to give honor to Reverend Jackson for giving me this opportunity to be before you this morning. God bless you, Reverend. We pray for many great things that the Lord has in store for his kingdom and his young people as we go forward. And I want to just give honor to each individual up here, the choir and everyone. We're so grateful for you all. God bless you. We love you. And you, the church, come on. Turn to somebody and say, you look so wonderful on this Pentecostal Sunday. Come on, let the glory shine. Jesus. Man. Hallelujah. And I can't forget about my lovely wife. You see, I came from Africa to, from Liberia to America when I was 11 years old. So some of my years were spent in Liberia and some were spent in America. So I had to make sure I get something significant, someone that would show that I'm American. So you know what I did? I married me an African-American woman, Miss Julia Holly. God bless you, baby. I love you. Yeah. Amen, amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles, let's take a trip to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 20 to 21. 2 Timothy chapter 2. We'll look at verse 20 to 21, 2 Timothy chapter 2. For those of you who had the opportunity to be at the Knights of Stars, celebrating the Knights of the Stars, on Friday night we spoke from the same chapter, but today we're going to turn our focus on the 20th and the 21st verse, 2 Timothy. If you have it, just say amen. Good. I'm going to read. The Bible says this, but in the gray house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor. Everyone said honor. And some to dishonor. Said dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, He shall be a vessel unto honor. Come on, can you just nudge somebody and say, I want to be a vessel of honor? Sanctify and make meat for the master's use and prepare unto every good work. And I want to turn your focus back, to the second part of verse 20. It says, and some to honor and some to dishonor. This morning, for a few minutes, I realized I have about 20 minutes and I'm keeping my eyes on the clock. Yes, 20 minutes to get this done and keep on rolling. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about living a purpose life. Living a purpose life. And many times, you know, we come to church Sunday after Sunday, and we come to all the in-betweens that the Monday, the Wednesday night Bible study, or Wednesday night prayer meeting, Friday night service. We come to all the in-betweens, but many times we forget what is the purpose of what we're doing. And so this morning I want to talk to you for a few minutes, and I want to talk to you about living a purpose life. You see, prior to GPS coming into effect, we had something called MapQuest. And what you would do with MapQuest, you'll go onto the internet and type in your destination. You type in where you wanted to start and where you're going. And sometimes when you plug in the address that or the destination as of where you're trying to get to, MapQuest will give you some direction, but many times the direction might be wrong. Sometimes it might send you off track. And when the direction puts you in the wrong way or puts you on the wrong road, you end up in the wrong place. You end up on the wrong place, and the place that you end up at, you know that this is not the road that you need to be on to get to your destination. And so when you realize that you're on the wrong road, you must get back on track so you can head to your destination. Can someone say amen? Amen. Living a purpose life. You see, when you live a purpose life, in your subconscious, there's a destination, there's a place that you're trying to go to. You're trying to move from one location to go to the next location. And sometimes why you're trying to move from one location to go to the next location, you sometimes get off track. You get off track just like the way that bad direction got you off track. But you have to realize when you get off track, it was not meant for you to stay off track. You have to learn how to dust yourself and get back on track so you can reach your destination. Amen. Amen. And so, when you live a purpose life, you're destined for greatness. When you live a purpose life, there's somewhere greater that you're going. When you live a purpose life, you know who you belong to. You know who you're serving. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Clap for the Lord Jesus in this place. Imagine if you're going to Disney World. And you say, kids, oh man, you know the kids love going to Disney World. You said, babies, I'm going to take you down to Disney World. We're going to have a good time. Now, while you're going to Disney World, you mess up in a direction and you get off track. You know if you stay off track and you don't get back on I-95 that you're never, ever going to get to Disney World. You're never going to get there. So when you get lost, you got to realize, it's time to get back on track. And you know, this is like our life. This is like our spiritual walk with the Lord. We know that we're reaching for heaven's door. We know that we're striving to make it to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know we're trying to get somewhere to see the loved ones who went ahead of us. We're trying to get to heaven. And sometimes in your spiritual walk, you get lost. Sometimes in your spiritual walk, you get lost. And some people, when they get lost, they like to stay lost. They like to stay lost. But you see, this morning, if you stay lost, you're never, ever going to reach your destination. Some people say, oh, yes, I got lost, but this loss feel good. I'm not gonna go in your area. You know where your loss is. Right? You say, I got lost, but this feel good. I wanna stay a little longer. But you see, when you stay there a little longer for every day, every minute that you're staying there, you're taking away from the time that you can have fellowship, from the time that you can have communion with the Lord, and the Lord can pour into your life. The Lord can allow His Spirit to fully manifest in you. Tell the person next to you, get on track, honey. Get on track. Living a purpose life. Living a purpose life. You see, sometimes in our walk, when we get lost and we stay lost, we deactivate the Holy Spirit that is working on the inside of our lives. We deactivate this communion, this relationship that we have with the Lord. Why? Because we got lost, and instead of getting back on track, no, we want to stay lost. But today, this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to get back on track. I want to encourage you to live a purpose life. I want to encourage you to stay on the road that is destined for greatness. Amen. So I want to ask you a question. I'm coming to the closing. I'm watching the clock. Coming to the closing of my message. What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose in life? What is your purpose? Why do you come to service? Think about it. It's your purpose. You see, when you have purpose in your life, purpose brings focus. It allows you to focus in. Your attention is aimed as something when you have focus in your life. And that's what purpose brings. When you have purpose in your life, purpose gives you a reason for living. You know that your life is worth living. I've read about young people and old people alike that take away their lives because they have no reason to live in. But you see, when you have a purpose, you're living a life of purpose, or you're living a purpose life, you know there's a reason for living. When you live a purpose life, you have a reason for coming to church. Sometimes I know you get tired. That was me this morning. I'm not used to waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to come to church on Sunday morning. But I had to wake up to come to service this morning. Why? Because I knew there's a purpose of coming here. To join in with the saints, to join in with brothers and sisters, and we can sing God is awesome, and we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. That's a good thing. That is the purpose why we come to service. You see, when you live a purpose life, there's a purpose, there's a reason for your actions. You don't just do things for the sake of doing them. You do them because they're helping you get to your destination. You see, when you have purpose, so you live a purpose life, you don't need to look anywhere else. You don't need to look on the television to find your identity. You don't need to look in some kind of magazine to find out your identity. You don't need to look to someone else to find your identity. All you have to do when you live a purpose life, you look in the Word of God. And God says that you are a child of God. God says that you are a special daughter. God said that you are a special son. God said that you are called by His purpose. God said that He poured His Spirit into you. You don't need to look anywhere else to find your identity. I know I'm somebody, because I am the son, I'm the daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I walk like a prince and I talk like a prince. And why? Because my Father is a king. So many people look somewhere else. Oh my gosh, the little young girls, she's so skinny, I want to be just like her. You better watch yourself. You're a child of a king. You're a child of a king. You're a princess. You're a princess. And you have to know that you are a princess. Your identity is found in the Lord. ain't no magazine. Magazine can't touch you. Come on. Magazine can't touch you. You too hot for magazine. Purpose. Purpose brings identity. Brings identity. You see, when you live a purpose life, purpose places in your subconscious a destination that you're working towards. And I pray today that when you leave this place, that you have in your head, you have in your mind, in your heart, that I want to live a purpose life unto the Lord. I want to live a purpose life unto the Lord. The Bible in Exodus 25, the Bible talks about Moses building a tabernacle. And within this tabernacle was the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant is symbolic of the presence of the living God. And within the tabernacle were articles of noble use. Someone say, noble use. And so the reason why God told Moses to have the tabernacle built and for the Ark of the Covenant to be placed within the tabernacle is because God wanted to have a dwelling place amongst his people in the earth. And you have to understand that the Ark of the Covenant is symbolic of the presence of God. God is saying to the Israelites, wherever you go, I want my presence to go with you. Therefore, I'm giving Moses these instructions that he must build a tabernacle. And within this tabernacle, there's going to be the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the living God. So the Bible says, now that the Israelites, when they came through the wilderness, and they were getting ready to go into the land of Canaan. The Bible says that God told Joshua to tell the priest to put the Ark of the Covenant, to take the presence of God. Take the presence of God and put it upon their shoulder. And so the priest took the presence of the living God and they put it upon their shoulder. And it went and stood in the Jordan. And when it stood in the Jordan, the river parted and all the Israelites walked. They walked on dry land. Why? Because the presence of the living God, the presence of the living God, the presence of the living God will bring you victory. The presence of the living God will bring you blessings. The Bible says in Samuel that the people of Israel, when they went to war and they were engaged in battle, and every time they brought the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says that victory was guaranteed. Victory was guaranteed. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning, in your heart, in your body, when the presence of the living God lives inside of you, wherever you go, whatever battle you encounter, victory is guaranteed. Why? Because you have the presence of God. You have the presence of God on the inside. You have the presence of God living in you. Come on, somebody say amen. The Ark of the Covenant. Oh, the presence of the living God. Come on, just tell somebody, say the presence of the living God is dangerous. Presence of the living God is dangerous. Yeah. Dangerous. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Israelites going to battle. And their brother, and the Philistine and notice and say, hold up. Every time these dudes bring the Ark of the Covenant, victory is guaranteed for them. And the Israelites, the Philistines, they kept on checking. They say, man, the reason why they're victorious, because they have the presence of the Lord in their midst. And so the Philistines say, you know what? Let's go and steal the Ark of the Covenant. And so they went and they stole the Ark of the Covenant and they brought it back. Let me tell you something. You can't misuse the presence of God. You can't misuse the presence of God. So the Philistines, they took the Ark of the Covenant and they brought it in their temple. And they put the Ark of the Covenant in the temple before the God called Dagon. You know what happened the next morning? Dagon was on his knees. He was on the floor. Bible says every knee shall bow. I don't care how big you are. I don't care how many degrees or what kind of job you have. Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Every knee shall bow. So the story goes that because they try to misuse the presence of God. You see, the presence of God did not belong to the Philistines. They did not know how to handle the presence of God because their life was not suitable for the presence of the living God to dwell in their midst. And so the Bible says that they got so much trouble from misusing the presence of the living God that they took the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the living God, and they brought it back to the Israelites. They said, take your trouble! The Israelites, they took the Ark of the Covenant back. Today, this morning, we read 2 Timothy 2 and 20. But in a great house, the tabernacle, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor, and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. I love that part. That's so good. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepare unto every good work. First, the Israelites had the tabernacle, and the tabernacle housed the presence of the living God. And now David, I love David. David shows up on the scene. And David said, I want to build a temple for the presence of the living God to dwell therein. And so, because David was a warrior and he messed up with a lot of blood, God said, I'm going to have someone else build the temple. So Solomon came along and Solomon built the temple. And after the temple was built, the presence, the Ark of the Covenant came into the temple. And the Bible says that the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Now, you went from the tabernacle to the temple. And now if you look in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, Bible says this, watch this, it's coming home, it's coming right to you. It's coming right up in your grill, right in your grill. Watch this. It says this, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? We coming home, Reverend. We coming home. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defy the temple of God, that's you. Anyone mess with you? Whoa. If any man defy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. I told you you're not a small person. I told you you're not small. You're very dangerous. Him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple you are. And so, here we go. First, Moses had a tabernacle built. And within the tabernacle, they brought the Ark of the Covenant. And it sat there. The presence of the Lord was amongst the people of God. And so David, being a good man after God's own heart, said, I want to build the temple. God said, oh yes, you want to build the temple. You make preparation, but your son is going to build the temple. So Solomon had the temple built, and the Ark of the Covenant came and dwelt in the temple. But now we read in Corinthians that the Bible said, you are the temple of the living God. And so today, the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the living God must dwell in your heart. I heard Reverend Jackson saying today is Pentecostal Sunday. And what that means is each one of you ought to be a temple walking around. And you have to be a carrier of the presence of the living God. The presence of the living God ought to dwell in you, that where you go, people will know, there's something special about you. Why? Because the presence of the living God is dwelling on the inside. Wow. Each and every one of you. Our purpose. Living a purpose life. Our purpose is to be carriers of the presence of God. Be carriers of the presence of God. So the Bible says there are articles in that temple. There are articles, parts of your bodies that could be used for honorable purpose or dishonorable purpose. And so your right hand, when you have this right hand, this is an article. You use it to help a brother, not to punch a brother. The honorable use for this hand is to reach out and help a brother, not to tick this in your face. No. The honorable use for your lips is to God bless you and heaven smile upon you and I love you. Keep on keeping them. Now, look at you, child. You disgust me. That's not the honorable use of your mouth. Articles, vessels of honor, vessels of dishonor. My prayer for each and every one of us here this morning that we will be temple of the living God, where God's spirit lives inside of us, and that the articles of our temple or within this temple will be used for noble purpose, for honorable purpose. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for it. It is an encouragement to us. Living a purposed life. God, we don't want to just get caught up in a cycle of coming to church Sunday after Sunday and being participants of the in-betweens. Lord, we want to live a purposed life unto you. We want to be carriers of your presence, Lord God. Father, I pray this morning for any brother or sister who is here and who have gotten out of the cycle and who have gotten off track, that they would get back on track knowing that they have a purpose life and that you call them to be carrier of your presence, Lord God. I pray your blessings upon them, Father. Continue to strengthen them. Continue to give them a heart to worship, Lord. And let them use the articles of their body for noble purpose, for honorable purposes, Lord God. We thank you, we honor you. And the church say amen. Amen. God bless you.